I will try not to elaborate so much on my answers.
That would be nice for a change.
Yeah, but you know what? When I do that, sometimes you sit there and go, wait a minute, I have questions.
You're doing it right now. I might ask you a question. Doesn't mean you need to expand. You can answer that one like you answered the last one.
I'm not good at that.
I know. All right. Okay. So if there's no objections, shall we begin?
Sure.
Let's go for it.
Okay.
Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Films podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. No, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I'm your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, her professional wrestler name was the Human Birth Control. Give it up for Heather Baxendale.
Hello, that's kind of messed up since I have three children.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for a moment with Heather.
So Heather.
Yes.
You had some breaking news about your personal life. I thought can we share it? Can we talk about it?
Sure, I have no idea what happened to me though. Do you know?
I don't know. I'm crumpling a bag. Is that good for podcasts? I don't know why that's here. So why don't you tell everybody what you texted me about the other day, about next year?
Oh, yes. Okay. So Mike and I actually decided on a month to get married next year.
It's going to be a 30-day occasion. It's going to be a big event. It's like Burning Man on acid.
We haven't been able to commit to an official date, but sometime in October next year, we're going to get married, and we decided that we are going to have a Star Wars-themed wedding, and I asked Kai to be my best man.
So honored.
He may actually travel the country to come see us and take part in our Star Wars celebration of marriage.
Yeah, that was funny. For those of you who don't know, I'm terrified of flying. I'll probably have to BA Baracus it if I decide to go over there in a plane. We've been looking into taking a train trip because it would be really neat to kind of see the middle of the country. I've never really been – well, okay. In high school, I played junior Olympic volleyball in the offseason in the summers, and I traveled to Austin and Florida to compete in those. But all I did was play for days. I barely got to see much. So realistically, I've really only been to Nevada. So I haven't really been further east than Nevada. So it would be cool to see kind of everything in the middle of the country. I hear it's boring for long stretches, but I still might want to try it. But if we can make it happen, it will happen. My one question for you, though, is it Star Wars themed in that we're all – I know you have your adorable little boy is going to be the ring bearer dressed as an Ewok, right?
Yes.
And is everyone else dressing up, or are we just eating like Death Star cookies and shit?
I think everyone can do whatever they want. For the wedding party – I'm not sure if we're going to go, seriously dressed as characters or if we're just going to use it as inspiration yet. I don't like planning things like this at all. It's not fun for me. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping at least with Star Wars I would be more interested. But, I mean, Liam asked me already if he could be a stormtrooper and carry a blaster and shoot people. So I said yes.
Okay.
So I think that's the path we're going down right now. But I think mine will probably just be Princess Leia.
You could do a white dress, which is a joke in and of itself, but you can
exactly.
If you just do the buns on your head, you've essentially got a white dress on. You can do – there's this thing – we can talk about this after or on another – we can text about it later, Heather, but there's a thing called casual cosplay. Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay, so you can use hints of a character's outfit and work them into everyday clothes or dress clothes and things like that. That might be an interesting take.
I think that's what Mike and I are going to do. And then probably the same thing for the wedding party, which will be small. It's going to be a small affair in general. But for the guests, I think we are going to invite them to dress up if they would like to. But if they don't want to, they don't have to. But they could come wearing a top hat and tuxedo if they want, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm going to do my best to get there. It's going to take a lot of bravery on my part, believe me. I'm proud of you because I think a lot of people may want to do this and they just don't pull the trigger on it. I wish I'd done something along these lines. My claim to fame is I wore Vans. I just refused to wear fucking dress shoes. I'm sorry. So
that's kind of the thing. I think a lot of people do their weddings and I feel like they do them for everybody else. And that's why I kind of wasn't amped about having a wedding. And then we started talking about it more and we're like, it's supposed to be about us. The kids need to be involved. It's a day celebrating us. So if people want to be a part of that, then awesome. And if they don't, they don't have to.
All right. Enough said. Should we move on with the show?
Sure. Woo!
This has been A Moment with Heather.
Okay, our guest today, he's the writer behind the blog Forgotten Films. He also writes for ChannelSuperhero.com, where he reviews episodes of the 60s Batman series and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on the weekends. He also has two podcasts. I need to learn to speak. Forgotten Filmcast and Walt Sent Me. Give it up for our guest today, Todd, I can't see your light. Is it Liebenau? Am I saying it right?
You got it. You got it on the right, the first try. And believe me, even if you had butchered it, it would be okay, because I've heard them all, and, you know, they don't faze me. So.
Well, I apologize. I've known of you for years, but I only ever see your name. We've never actually spoken. This is the first time we actually get to talk. So I've seen it, and that's how I pronounce it in my head. So I was just going to roll with it anyway. Anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about the stuff you do online?
Well, yeah, you pretty much covered it there. I write about forgotten films, so basically, you know, stuff that's fallen off the radar, you know, the movies nobody talks about anymore. That's kind of the main focus of my blog, and then I have a podcast where we talk about the same type of thing. In fact, someone named Heather was on the last episode of that show.
I feel bad for you already.
Yeah.
I was well behaved in everything, Kai.
That's where that was the last episode of that show, I guarantee you. That's where that thing
changed. I hope not. But yeah, and then I have another one that's called Walt Sent Me, which is all about Disney movies. But I always say it's Disney in the grand scheme of things, because a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of movies that you don't think of as Disney movies that were actually released under Disney. And so myself and Kristen Lopez host that podcast, and we talk about anything and everything released by the mouse. And one thing we do on every episode as well is we talk about one of the classic animated shorts. So we do a short subject, and then we do a feature film. So, you know, it might be where we're talking about a Mickey Mouse short subject, and then we talk about something like a Quentin Tarantino movie, because those were mostly released under Miramax when Disney owned them. So, we do all kinds of different stuff.
So basically, you ran out of shit to talk about. You talked about all the Disney shit, and you're like, we need a bigger range of shit to talk about, so we're going to do everything under their umbrella.
Well, we've jumped around, you know. We've always kind of, you know, we hit some of the animated stuff, and then some of the adult things. And, you know, our episode that I'm overdue for editing right now is a double feature. Kristen wanted to do both of the Princess Diaries movies, so I had to do that, you know, but...
Why didn't you wait? I heard they're going to do another one. Did you hear that?
Yeah, there's a rumor going around they want to do, like, you know, now she's going to have a baby or something like that. And, yeah, so...
You're going to have to revisit that franchise at some point. I'll have to listen to that. I'm a big fan of Disney, and I think I follow Kristen Lopez on Twitter, so that's cool. I didn't know you guys did that together. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody.
So, yeah, and then, and like you said, I write at Channel Superhero also, doing a few of the old superhero TV shows and things like that. So, try to stay busy.
Yeah, rest in peace, Adam West. All right, so for those of you that don't know, we're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game. Before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately?
All right, Todd, you're our guest. We'll let you go first. Is there a film you've seen recently that you feel compelled to speak of?
Well, yeah, speaking of Disney, I finally got around to watching...
I knew it.
Yeah. Well, I've had a really slow week this week with movies and just didn't get to much, but last night I finally got to watch Moana, which I hadn't seen yet, and really enjoyed it. I think it's kind of, you know, doesn't really cross any new ground when it comes to kind of the Disney formula of things, but I think there's still a lot of interesting stuff with it. The songs are good, and I thought visually it was just really stunning. That was kind of the biggest takeaway from the movie in general, but yeah, I had fun with it. I needed something to watch. My family were all up doing other things, so I said, forget them, they've all watched Moana already anyway, so I'm just gonna sit down and watch this thing. And it was fun.
That's cool. I need to get to that. Or as our buddy Steve calls it, a nice documentary about a Polynesian girl who has to take something across a river or some shit. I don't know. He's crazy.
I was just going to say, you're the second person on the show in the last couple of weeks that has recommended it, actually. So
well, I've done this thing where, like, okay, so my kids grew up on Pixar. So my oldest was born in 2000. My daughter was born in 2002. Nemo was the mainstay. My daughter's favorite when she was young. I probably saw it 150, 250 times, something like that. So... And I went to the theater to see the first Toy Story, and there was a time when Pixar was, like, must-see. And is Moana Pixar or Disney? It's Pixar, is it not?
It's Disney. It's technically Disney.
Yeah. Moana's fallen under Disney. Now, Disney recently has started to do some more interesting films, and I would put them up there near Pixar in the quality, like Frozen, of their films.
I would say they're surpassing Pixar quite a bit of the time.
Well, that's
nowadays.
My problem. Yeah. I'm a little behind. So I have not seen Finding Dory yet. I had seen every Pixar film up into that. And it's just because my kids have reached an age where I don't need to be entrenched in that shit anymore. They'd much rather see an old 80s action film or something like that. you know, be exposed to something new, and I don't get to sit around and watch those as much, but I really want to see Moana. It sounds like it's really fun.
Yeah, yeah, I would definitely check it out. It didn't wow me like something like Frozen did, but it's still really good.
Okay. Well,
it's on Netflix, so you should get to it.
And, yeah, I know.
You can Netflix on your phone.
So is Dory. So you recommend it, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. As for me, I haven't watched Netflix a lot lately. I don't know why. I've got cable and on demand and a bunch of other options, so I don't like just. Like, I have to be pretty desperate, especially with the fall season of shows starting, to sit down and watch, like, Netflix. And I went on there, and I didn't realize, I keep reading all these articles that Netflix is way overextending themselves with the stuff they're investing in. They're not only,
yeah.
They're starting to put studio money in behind directors, they're producing a ton of shows, which I had no idea. There's 1,000 fucking shows and movies that are all under, like, Netflix on there. And I was.
There's a ton.
Yeah, and I hear about a
movies
bunch.
Movies, too.
Yeah, oh, and I know. And I hear about a bunch that are coming. Like, I heard about Allied with Brad Pitt. I knew the Adam Sandler thing. I've been hearing about the Scorsese De Niro thing. But I heard about this interesting one they did, and I found it on there, and it's called What Happened to Monday. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
I've seen it listed there, yeah.
Okay. It's a really cool film. Highly recommend it. Stars Noomi Rapace, if that's how you say it, Rapace. Willem Dafoe. Glenn Close. Okay.
Decent, oh, you sold me.
Decent cast, right? Set in a dystopian future where we've overpopulated. So what they've done is they said you can't have more than one kid. They've set up this place that if you have more than one kid, they will take the other kids and put them in what they call a cryogenic chamber that will hold them until the Earth can sustain the population again, essentially. So what happens is Willem Dafoe's daughter, who you never even see, gives birth to 7 kids because what they did in an attempt to stop the overpopulation, they put something in everybody's food that was supposed to control that gene that makes multiple children, and instead it amplified it. So kids, they were having multiple kids. So she has 7. Well, he decides to name them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Noomi Rapace plays all 7 parts. So there's many scenes of just her in playing 7 different sisters, identical, but each with their own personalities. And what they do is one takes each day of the week, and they go out into the world and act as the one legal child that the Willem Dafoe is allowed to have. And then it goes full sci-fi from there. So all I say is that's the basic premise. It's not really any spoilers. And you can tell from the title, What Happened to Monday, there's probably some shenanigans. But I highly recommend it. Really good film. What about you, Heather?
I did a revisit. I haven't watched much in the last week either. I've been kind of busy. But Mike hasn't seen, like, all of the movies, and I've spent most of our 5 years together letting him watch movies that he hasn't seen yet that we all saw when we were kids. One of the movies that I'm surprised he hasn't watched was Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. And I've realized, you know, my mom and dad let me watch just about everything when I was younger, so I didn't realize that there were a lot of parents that didn't let their kids watch that, and now I understand why. But he didn't see it, and then as he got older, he obviously didn't have interest, because it's really a coming-of-age movie about a girl. But he loves Patrick Swayze, and I'm like, you can't not watch this. It is a Patrick Swayze movie where he's full Swayze, so you have to watch it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't watched it myself in probably 8 to 10 years, so it had been quite a bit for me, too. And I was kind of dreading it, but I felt like he needed to see it. You know what? It's actually still pretty good. I would not say it's something that I want to pull out for myself and get too much out of, but for nostalgia purposes, I think the fact that it took place, you know, years and years before the 80s came about also works with the timeline, that it doesn't date it quite as much, even though some of the soundtrack kind of does occasionally. Mm-hmm. But I think it still works. I think it works as a young girl's coming-of-age movie, and I think it's still good in that capacity if I'm looking at it objectively. And, you know, it's definitely kind of cheesy for me, but I see why people still like it. Sometimes I go back to movies that I loved as a kid, and now I go, what was I thinking? That was horrible or awful. Or movies like Grease that I loved as a kid but have just gotten so oversaturated in the last 10, 15 years that I can't even put it on. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way about Dirty Dancing, but I think I was wrong. And I think if enough time passes, you can pick something like this up again and maybe enjoy it again. So I think thumbs up, but will I watch it again? Probably not for another 10 years, and I probably will for the same reason.
Okay. Well, it's time to put this segment into the corner. We have 2 recommends and 1 meh. It's there if you want to watch it. Is that correct?
Yeah, unless you're a younger girl. Like, I could see a mother and daughter watching that together, like tweens, 14 and under, and totally loving the crap out of it. Totally get it. But I guess that would be a personal call since, you know, of the content. With me, I would let my kid watch it.
Okay. All right. Well, this brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to get into the Serious 7. Here's some music about that.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Serious 7, so shut the fuck up.
All right, so the premise of the Series 7 is pretty basic. We basically have 7 film-related questions, pop culture-related questions, that are meant to generate discussion, opinion. You can interpret these however you want. You want to be funny with it. You want to be silly with it. It doesn't have to be letter of the law, exactly how it's stated. You do whatever you want. We're just here to, like, have a little bit of a conversation about films. So we're going to go ahead and start with you for this first one, Todd. It seems appropriate. Question number one, do the Disney princess movies – does the princess Disney – this is a Heather question. You can already
You can
tell.
Say it.
I have to sound it out in my head. Okay, do the Princess Disney movie genre still have a place? Does, Heather? Does the... It's not even
hey,
a genre.
Listen, I send him these questions when I'm literally brainstorming. Sometimes it's on my phone, and sometimes it's wherever, and I just send them to him as they're just pouring out of my brain. I don't punctuate. I don't spell things correctly. They just get sent. He usually fixes them. He didn't this time.
I tried to fix it. I broke my mouth. All right, let's go to you, Todd. I think you get the gist.
Yeah, I figured it out. Yeah, yeah. No, I think so. I mean, basically, when I thought about this, I mean, I have a daughter who is now, she just started college. And, of course, you know, when she was younger, she was all into the Disney princesses and all that. And when I think about this type of thing, I'd say, well, you know, there's always a fresh crop of little girls that – the Disney princess movies just speak to them. And it's actually kind of the flip side of the coin of that is how, like, when Cars 3 came out this summer, mm-hmm. and people said, oh, it's the sequel nobody asked for. And I said, I beg to differ. You know, there's always little boys who are obsessed with anything with wheels, and they're the ones that movie's made for. It's not made for us film bloggers, you know, it's mm-hmm. made for those little boys. And it's kind of the same thing. I mean, there's always going to be little girls that want to go see the princess movies. There's always going to be little boys who want to go see the Cars movies. I mean, right now, the biggest movie at the box office this year is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
you know, so
I think that's fantastic.
And plenty, and you know what? You can't even nowadays in the society today, you almost can't even. That would almost be considered discrimination. Like, you can't even say boys like cars and girls like princesses. Like,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Not that you are discriminating, but, like, you know what I mean? It's just we're so sensitive about everything right now. But you're right. Beauty and the Beast made what, like, 1.7 billion or something stupid.
Mm.
And
well,
so,
that's why I kind of brought it up was because not because. Boys don't tend to, you know, go towards cars and girls towards princesses and that kind of thing. But as far as especially the film industry right now is going, there is this huge feminist movement to stop making movies like that where girls are supposed to be just princesses saved by princes and that kind of thing. And you look back at a lot of those movies and, you know, some of them are cringeworthy as far as the scenarios go, but
well,
that's why... Which is why I thought it interesting to see, because I haven't seen Frozen, but I have no idea what it's about. I know that there's a princess, but I don't know the storyline or anything. So I don't know if it was still falling into that she needs to be rescued or is she the powerful one who does all the stuff.
No, I think it's okay. Given the current climate, I think if anything, there's more of a place for these things now than ever. We just need responsible writing with them. Wonder Woman is a great opportunity to build off of and make more, you know, stronger female characters in Hollywood, and that includes animation. And it's not that we haven't had them before. We've talked about this many times. Ellen Ripley's, you know, Heather had another question on here that was like that I didn't use. I don't think. I hope not. That said, what is a female part that could be played by a man and a male part that could be played by a woman? Ellen Ripley was written for a man. He wasn't named Ellen, obviously, but I mean that you could easily swap her out and put a man in there, and the film works fine. But it resonates because it was a strong, powerful woman, and because of Sigourney Weaver. So I think you can even put them in those interesting, or not those interesting, those repetitive damsel in distress situations in these animated films, as long as you allow them to exhibit some power as people and not dependent on someone else. So you could write strong characters that are still stuck in these situations. They just have to write it responsibly. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And I've seen scenarios where that's worked too, particularly with like the fairy tale thing. And the princess idea itself, I haven't, it's a dated one, but it's the first one that comes to mind. Ever After was a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
That did that. I do, too. I think it's, I still think it's really good. But I think they did a great job with, you know, updating the scenario, but they still kept the story, which I thought was great. And a show that does it really well, too, if anybody watches it, is Once Upon a Time. It takes all these traditional fairy tale things and it puts all these twists on them. But pretty much the bulk of the story are still all around the women, but all the women are badasses. So I think it's kind of cool. And I'd like to see that more. And I haven't watched any recent Disney princess-type movies in probably the last 10 years for that exact reason, because I don't want to go see a damsel being saved by the prince and they lived happily ever after ending. And I know it's not the same anymore, but I also know that there, as you pointed out, Todd, there probably is a climate for girls that do enjoy that, or little girls.
And actually, jumping back to Moana, it's a good example of what you're talking about here, because there's several moments in that film, if I remember correctly, where she says, I'm not a princess. Don't call me a princess. She is, actually. She's the daughter of the chief, and she's going to be the chief herself one day. But the whole story centers around her, and she goes off on this mission, and she's going to save the island and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of falling right in line with what you're describing there.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Think about this. Think about everything Quentin Tarantino has done, and then I know this. I'll bring this around somehow. Watch everything Quentin Tarantino has done, and look at like some of the most popular horror movies we've seen. Horror does this all the time. Look at Don't Breathe. Look at Get Out. Look at Scream. Take the genre, stick it in the form of the genre, cookie cutter form of the genre, and spin it on its head. You know, it doesn't have to be, and those are the ones we tend to, like, salivate the most over and, like, enjoy the most, because it's new. Even though it's familiar, it's packaged differently. It's more exciting. You know what I mean? So you can do this.
Yeah.
You can do this. It's not hard. And there are times when I think it's okay that there is a princess in a movie that, you know, Aladdin is not about Jasmine. Aladdin, she's an integral character, but she's not the focus of the movie. So in that regard, maybe she can play the damsel in distress, even though she has some spunk. But Little Mermaid, things like that, where the focus is on the girl, different situation. No?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and that is it. There's plenty of opportunity to do that and work with it. I just like to see that more.
I agree. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting stronger and stronger female characters throughout animation and all sorts of films. I can't believe it drives me nuts. We do this all the time, Heather. It drives me nuts that we even have to talk about this shit.
I know, and we shouldn't, but it's important too, I think. And this is another good example of a recent movie that did it really well, was The Force Awakens, when Rey was yelling at Finn to constantly stop trying to save me, stop trying to help me.
Yeah.
And then she was helping him, and then they eventually became partners and there was equal between the two of them. But I thought that was a great moment. Like, no, I don't need to be saved. But you know what, back in 79 and in the early 80s, Princess Leia didn't quite need to be saved either.
Yeah,
sort of.
Well, and I think one thing too, and I think I might have talked to you about this, Heather, back 2 years ago when The Force Awakens comes out. But I remember when they announced the casting for The Force Awakens, and they had, you know, Oscar Isaac, and they had, I'm forgetting his name, the stormtrooper, what's his name? Anyway, and Daisy Ridley, you know, and I saw tons of people online saying things about, they automatically assumed that Daisy Ridley's character was going to be the damsel that needed to be saved. And I was on there saying, but wait a minute, what if she's the hero of the story? And they were like, no, it's not going to be that way. And it turned out to be that way, you know. And sometimes I think even the people that are claiming to be progressive on this are assuming the worst, and it doesn't come out that way in the end.
Yeah. And it's John Boyega, right? Is that what I'm
John thinking? Boyega, yeah. That's who I was trying to think of, yeah.
All right, well, I think we covered this well. Why don't we move on to question number two? And we will go back to you for this one, Todd. What are your three favorite movie fight scenes?
Oh, this was very difficult.
I hate
when I have, you know, when it's, the question is, what's your favorite such and such? Because I always go, I'll change my mind in 3 days as to what my favorite is. But here's what I came up with. The final fight scene from Blazing Saddles, where it just leaks out of the Western set onto the movie back lot. You know, the cowboys and all that end up in a musical fighting all the guys in the musical. And then it goes into the commissary and all that stuff. And then you even have a pie fight, which as a Three Stooges fan, I love that. So that's one of them. Of course, I got to go with Indiana Jones and the Mechanic and the Airplane and Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's a no-brainer right there. And then Jackie Chan. Got to do some Jackie here. I don't know what you call this officially. I just always call it the ladder fight. It's in the movie called First Strike. Yeah. At least that's what we know it as in the U.S.
Yep.
And at one point in the middle of this big fight, which involves tons of different things. I mean, there's like chairs and tables and brooms and all kinds of stuff. But at one point he turns around and picks up a ladder and starts like twirling it around like he's Darth Maul. That is just my go-to fight scene when it comes to Jackie Chan.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. My grandpa was from Germany. He was on the German side during the war. He wasn't a Nazi. Don't be going that route with it. He was a plane mechanic, and he was a tall man. He was about 6 feet tall. Went bald at 30, so shaved his head his entire life. Bright blue eyes. So every time I watch Indiana Jones, I was like, I always imagine, what if that was my grandpa? He was just there to work on the plane, but he was also buff when he took his shirt off and would kick ass. You know? That's funny. I don't know. As for me, okay, so I could have gone a lot of different ways with this. First one I remember as a kid was when the guy jumps over the fence with the two swords in the 1989 Batman, and all the sparks are flying as Batman's using his arms to block the blades. John Wick, of course, pretty amazing. But John Wick, I couldn't think of anything, a memorable one from John Wick other than all of them.
Yeah, the whole movie.
The whole, and I thought it was a little toned down, and Keanu Reeves is getting older, but it was a little toned down in part two, but like, I thought it was some of the most inventive fighting I've ever seen. I could think of one, so I thought of three I just really like. Maybe some not obvious ones, instead of trying to pick my favorites, because that's kind of hard. So I went with a movie that's similar to John Wick, is just stunning fight choreography. I went with the sequel for this one, and I could think of a memorable one. It is The Raid 2, and it takes place in a kitchen. And it's just two guys fighting, and it's the fucking most kick-ass thing I've ever seen. The second one, okay, everybody hates Lethal Weapon 4.
I don't hate it at all.
It's my second favorite Lethal Weapon. I don't mind it.
Okay, that's just wrong. But
over two and three, come on. Anyway, the end.
It was good.
The end scene, when Jet Li is down in like this basement or whatever the fuck it is, this building next to some water, and Riggs and Murtaugh go down there, and they could just walk away, and they're kind of shaking their head that they're going to walk away, and then he's like, oh, I forgot to ask him something. He's like, yeah, let's go ask him, and you know they're going to go fight him. And they fight him two-on-one, and it's like very early on for us being introduced to Jet Li. He's kind of like, we hadn't really seen anything like that other than Jackie Chan, but he was kind of like a new coming of that, or supposed to be, and I really like that end scene where they fight and the whole thing and how it goes down. And then the last one, I've always loved the opening scene of Blade in the rave.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Well, I can tell by your reactions.
Well, I wouldn't put it on the top of mine, but I get it.
He fights a room full of vampires.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Look, for some context, you've got to think about when I saw it. So that's like, what? I saw it in theaters, like 97, 98, 99, something like that. Like, we weren't privy to quite as much action, and I could have picked other things. I could have picked, you know, Crouching Tiger, hitting whatever. I could have picked the Darth Vader, Luke, you know, sword fight, but I like those ones.
Maul and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. Oh, I expected that on yours.
You know what? I rewatch it. Okay, the only reason to watch the first one is for that scene.
I know. It's the only reason to watch the first one really is just for Darth Maul moments.
Yeah, but the problem is that scene that I remember loving, I rewatched it recently. There's a lot of fucking sitting around while they're waiting for those light walls to go away. It's not as like...
Yeah, but then you have Darth Maul scowling ominously at you, and it's terrifying and awesome. I'll watch that over and over again. I love it.
So that's Heather's first one.
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
I would probably put that... If I was doing a top 10, it would be in my top 10.
Yeah, I thought about that one for sure.
Yeah, it made my short list, definitely. I actually... The thing that made me think about this was I caught a bit of the fight scene in Troy between Achilles and Hector, and that kind of inspired me. I love that fight scene. I know I like that movie. Most people hate it. I don't care. But that fight scene, you cannot argue that it is not incredible. But that's what inspired it, but that wasn't what I put for my three. My third was actually Jason Bourne from The Bourne Identity, and it's the apartment fight when he still doesn't know who he is and can't remember anything.
I think
he grabs a pencil or a pen or something, and it's just complete reflex for him still at this point. But the hand-to-hand combat with it is so tight and so close, and at that moment there was just so much tension building anyway. I just thought it was fantastic. And then you get, like, in the, you know, sequels, you get similar ones that they try to up the ante. I think the one in the apartment and that goes into the rooftop, I think that's in the Supremacy 2. That one was really good.
I get them all mixed up. I can't keep track of what's in what movie when it comes to that franchise.
Well, after the second one, I mixed up.
Yeah, I can do the first one. Like, that
yeah, the first one, I've watched that one multiple times. The second and the third one I pick up occasionally, but... And the fourth one, yeah, whatever. My second choice, I couldn't do this without the Aragorn and Lurtz fight in The Fellowship of the Rings. It's so good. And then I'm not even sure if it's actually in the theatrical release, but the part where Lurtz takes Aragorn's knife and he licks his blood off of it after he takes the knife out of his thigh.
Uh-huh.
I know it's in the extended cut. I haven't seen the theatrical release in so long that I don't even know what it looks like. But that moment right there, and it was improvised, I know, it's just so freaking wicked. But that is a great fight.
It's all about when he just drives the sword further into him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the makeup is incredible, but it's just, it's fantastic. I mean, I get up like a kid and cheer every time I watch that. My favorite one, though, isn't necessarily the best as far as martial arts or anything like that's concerned. I have to say it's probably Jack versus Jack in Fight Club when Edward Norton fights himself.
See, this is why I didn't want to get into best ones, because like that's like one of my favorite movies, and it didn't even cross my mind when I was thinking of these.
Well, that's kind of like why it's fun to do this, because you forget stuff somebody else might remember it, and then we cover just about everything. I mean, I had a long list on this one. It was hard to do, But yeah, that one. After I looked at everything I had written down, I'm like, yeah, that's the best. But I'm like you, Todd. My list would probably change by week.
Yeah,
the
totally.
Order.
Oh, the All Valley Karate Tournament. Fuck, forgot a bunch of shit. All right, let's go back to Todd for question number three. Give me a couple of your favorite movie franchises, and to make this interesting, I'm pulling Star Wars, Indy, Lord of the Rings, and comic book movies off of the table.
Okay, so first has to be the Muppets.
Really?
Because backstories involved in that.
It does not have to be.
It has to be for me, because the Muppets were a huge part of my childhood, and also I am a puppeteer by trade, and so that is just something that I have always looked to as not just entertainment, but inspiration and such, so that's always going to rank high up there.
Wait, you're a puppeteer by trade?
I am. I'm a puppeteer.
That's your day job.
That's my day job, yes.
You've never been on his Facebook, apparently.
I haven't. I'm sorry. I'll do it after the show. Why? Explain. How? Like, where? What do you do?
It's just something I've always done. And I mean, I do work in an office. I work at a company that makes puppets and things like that. Most folks that use them in educational settings. And
Where did he touch you?
I'm sorry?
Like the Where Did He Touch You puppet? Like, was it here?
No, not that type of stuff.
Dang it, Kai.
You gotta educate the police on where he touched you. That's the only way they can catch him.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, some of the folks that do use the things that we create are police and fire departments, churches, things like that. A lot of the things I do is training people on how to use these I just use them as an educational tool.
I couldn't blow past that. What's your Jeff Dunham, like savior or the Antichrist? He's got to be one or the other for you, I imagine.
Oh no, I mean I like Jeff Dunham. I mean, since what I do is mainly for kids, you know, his humor is a bit blue for my type of kids for sure. But I have good friends that are ventriloquists that have known Jeff since he was a little kid, you know, learning how to do ventriloquism. So, his thing is his thing. You know, it's not the same type of thing that I do, but, you know, that's fine.
Okay. Sorry. Please continue.
Okay. So anyway, beyond the Muppets, I've always enjoyed the vacation movies. Not the most recent one. But the 80s ones, I mean, yeah, they're kind of hit and miss. You know, the first one's good. European Vacation's not so good. Christmas Vacation.
It's the opposite of Star Trek. The odd ones are good and the even ones suck.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But, I mean, even European Vacation, I appreciate a few things about it, you know. But the last one, if you want to call it a remake or reboot that they did, I couldn't get on board with that. It just didn't resonate with me. But the Chevy Chase ones, I think, are a lot of fun.
Yes.
And then I'll throw in one last one here. And again, the last movie in this franchise was terrible, but I definitely have a soft spot for Die Hard. Even the fourth one, I'm not as down on the fourth one as a lot of people are. The fifth one is crud, but the fourth one's got its moments. But 1, 2, and 3, those are all real solid.
I like it. That's a really good choice, man. I'm going to go with, I want to say Back to the Future because it's obvious, but I probably should have ruled that one out too, so I won't. Aliens is definitely up there for me, especially in particular the first two, but I don't mind watching the second two. Rocky has always been. I will watch any Rocky. Even the fifth one? Yes. If it's on, it's on. I'm waiting until the fight. That's it. I'm in. Like, oh, fuck. There goes my day. And if it's a TBS marathon, I'm screwed. I'll see you Monday. You know?
The fifth one is a chore, though. I mean, I had seen all of them except the fifth one. I'd seen the sixth one before I saw the fifth one. And the fifth one, it was just like, oh, my,
I grew up with the guys that were a couple years older than me, and I got to see – they had a lot of stuff I didn't have because of the way I was brought up. But, like, we watched all those in real time when we were young, and, like, we had, like, you know, Go For It on the soundtrack cassette single and shit. So, like, Rocky was kind of, like, bigger than life back then. So I don't know if there's part of that that makes it special to me still, but yeah, I don't know. I don't mind. It still comes down to the – there's something about every fight scene at the end of every Rocky, that overwhelming feeling of him overcoming his situation. It's why, you know, fight movies play so well to the emotional journey of a character because you physically get to see it kind of play out. I'm really excited that Creed was pretty fucking awesome because I would like to see that continue. That would be a great extension.
That was really good. It took me a while to get around to see it, but that was a solid movie.
I agree.
I'll throw out, too, the thing that really resonates for me on the Rocky movies also is the training montages. I always love those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It never gets old. Yeah, I see where you're going with this, Kai.
Yeah, and, this one just popped in my head as well, thinking of, like, along the lines of Vacation, where some are great and some are awful, but they're still just great. They're special to you. All the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
Mm.
Heather?
Not my cup of tea.
Your cup of tea?
Jesus. It's okay. This is how I am with Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, and those two are probably the best examples of it. Where I'm really familiar with the first two or three, and I've watched them subsequent times, and then after that, it's just all a blur to me.
Yeah, but look, Freddy 1 is great. Freddy 2, like, it doesn't even have, like, it's not even a continuation. It's just a strange oddball movie, similar to Halloween 2. Then Dream Warriors is the fucking shit. I don't care what anyone says. And then later you get, what's his name? Craven? Yeah, I want to mix up my horror icons. Wes Craven does what I think is the precursor to kind of Scream in that, like, interesting way of thinking about horror, flipping genre on his head, where Freddy kind of comes into real life. And I think it's an interesting take on film. So there you go. Fuck you. What's your movies? I win.
Mine was... Oh, you don't win. Stop it over there with your backpacking yourself, patting your back and your backing your pat. Who cares? Anyway, words are stupid. I think that most people probably assume I'd put Terminator in here, but I won't, because the first two movies are, I mean, standalone, just freaking insane. But everything that's happened subsequently is... And I actually enjoy Salvation for what it is, and you can turn it off before the last 15, 20 minutes, and I'm fine with it. But that doesn't really make up for 3 or Genesis at all. So I can't include Terminator in good conscience with that. Alien, I still am going to include. I like, with the exception of 3, and I still will watch 3 once every 5 to 10 years just because I want to like it every time I watch it, and I get so frustrated. But I think that they're all still pretty good in their own way. And you and I liked Prometheus when everyone was crapping on it.
Yeah.
And I liked Covenant too. I had a lot of problems with Covenant, but I liked it too. I think it's a solid
freaking
franchise.
When David teaches himself how to give a blowjob? Was that the part
we talked
didn't
about
like?
That, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, I'm going to get mad about Michael Fassbender doing anything naughty, ever.
Okay.
You're not going to hear me protest, especially when there's two of him on screen.
Yeah, sure.
But
so now, wait, are you're more keen on Alien 4 than Alien 3?
Yes.
No.
I think it's fun. It's a terrible movie
for the most part.
But
well,
if
4
you
is like what Kai was just saying about Nightmare 2. You know,
that's fair.
I would say 3 is an interesting film. It's unfortunate all the problems they have with that one, but it feels more in the vein of an alien film, and it follows it's an interesting take. The problem was they kill off Hicks and Newt in the beginning, and that doesn't even make any fucking sense. That's where that film went wrong.
I saw it in the theater with my parents, and I had trouble sitting through the whole movie because I was so devastated that they were dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I was in tears, and then I was just a disaster. Yeah. So it's still a hard movie for me to watch. But it's hard for me to watch now because I really like what they were trying to do with it. It just didn't work. Resurrection was ridiculous, but it's fun now. Now I watch it, and I mean, I enjoy it. It's silly. I don't know what else to say. It's like a ridiculous video game, almost. And Ron Perlman's in it. I didn't know if I was allowed to include Star Trek.
Nope.
No Star Trek. Okay. Then Lethal Weapon is my next.
Okay.
I love it. 3, not great, but it has a ton of great moments in it, and it has Renee Russo kicking ass in it, and she is fantastic, and I love her. So I forgive a lot of stuff with 3, and I actually don't think 4 is that bad.
Okay.
I'm totally with you on that one. But the first two, that's one of those great ones where it's like, is the first or is the second better?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely debatable, and I'm not going to argue. I know that you like the first more. But anyway, it's good. That's mine. And
No more andas. You don't need no more andas. I thought you were not gonna ramble on this one. Are we rambling at this point? I don't know. I feel like I've rambled. I feel like you've rambled. What are we doing?
You rambled a little, and then we went to the alien discussion.
Okay. Well, keep going then.
Okay. So for my third, I'm actually going to go with the Jurassic Park right now. I think Jurassic World completely rejuvenated the series. I was not happy forever with the second one because I was devastated by how poorly they adapted Michael Crichton's book, which was absolutely outstanding. It was actually better than the original book. And the movie went pretty close to it because he worked on the screenplay as well for the first movie. And the third one, I, again, with time, just kind of forgave and took it for what it was as a fun movie that
I liked
really...
I liked it because it had pterodactyls.
They actually took that scene
don't need to go through each film in the franchise. I think Jurassic Park gets the same thing that Rocky gets, which is like there's something interesting about each one, even if it's not good, and you always you get dinosaurs, so if you fucking win, you know what I mean?
Bingo. There you go.
And then he died.
Don't die. Or
Heather,
that's fine. Todd and I'll just talk. Yes.
Do me a favor.
What?
Give me your 3 favorite actors of all time. Remember that part? Never mind. Go ahead. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. This was a really hard one because I had to be a little bit objective and stop, not just
Heather,
pick.
Give me your 3
like.
Favorite actors of all time.
Sigourney Weaver, Robin Williams, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. What?
I fucking love that.
That's
except
the
for
truth.
Schwarzenegger.
That was being as honest with myself as I possibly could. I will watch anything Arnold Schwarzenegger is in still today. I love Arnie.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, he's Arnie. I love Arnie movies. I don't care if they're bad. I still love them.
Arnie's not on my list. Sigourney's on my short list. Didn't make my top 3. I had to think about this. Daniel Day-Lewis, because I've never seen someone be able to do what he does. I think he's unique. Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dork. And Robin Williams, I'm with you.
There's nice.
Yeah, everything he does, he when he's trying to be funny, even when he's in bad movies, he's Robin Williams. That's why I think his death more than anything was so painful for so many people, because he was held a special place in everybody's heart. And it, like a lot of his films were awful, but he was just such an entertainer, you know. So yeah, I'm with you. What about you, sir?
I decided to go with Gene Hackman. I wish he was still making movies. I mean, come on. Another one who should still be making movies, Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Love Rick Moranis. I mean, just cracks me up. And then I had to go with my classic movie side, and this is a weird one, but I love Bela Lugosi. Just anytime I see Bela Lugosi pop up in a movie, I know I'm going to see something interesting.
Fantastic.
I like it. Yeah. This was hard. I wanted Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted Bill Murray in there real bad. You know, there's like so many. I wanted Meryl Streep in there real bad because, honestly, I think until someone else comes along, she's the queen. And she's still going strong. I think she might be the greatest actor, but we're talking favorites. So that's hard to do. Let's go back to you, Heather. We'll do this again. What are your three favorite actors working currently?
Sigourney's still working, but
she's in The Defenders.
Yeah, and she just did some weird movie with Michelle Rodriguez, too, that I'm trying to get myself to watch that's on Amazon Prime right now. So Sigourney was clearly on there. Michael Fassbender, he's the actor right now where Brad Pitt was for me about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where if he's in something, I don't care what it's about, I will watch it because he makes really interesting choices and he is incredible in everything he does. And my third is Viggo because same thing. He's just the best for me. He to me is like Daniel Day-Lewis to you. He's just phenomenal.
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. In other news, my apologies.
Okay, it's a good list. What did I write down? Currently working? Is that what we went with? I've gone through, like, there's always, like, the next guy I think is going to do the Daniel Day-Lewis thing. For a while it was Christian Bale. He seems to have leveled out, still great. Then it was, who was it? I forget. Anyway, currently that guy for me is Tom Hardy. So I'm just really interested in everything that he does.
He made my short list, too.
Streep is another one. Meryl Streep will make me watch movies that I would normally not watch. I haven't seen, Florence Foster Jenkins yet? But I will see it because she's in it. I just want to see how well she did because I find her mesmerizing. I don't know.
I think she's good, but I don't want to watch everything she's in. I don't always like her film choices. They don't always interest me.
I agree, but I find myself watching a lot of movies because of her and liking her in it. The one exception is probably Mamma Mia.
I didn't think it was that horrible. Wasn't my cup of tea, but I didn't think it was that horrible. I know some people thought it was just atrocious, but I was kumsa, whatever.
And then who else did I write down? Did I write down too? Well, fuck it, Keanu Reeves. Like I like Keanu Reeves. Fuck it.
Nice, love that pick. Keanu, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Keanu's good, I will watch his terrible movies because he makes some bad movies.
He does, but at least he's not doing those Piper Lee, Lives of Piper Lee movies anymore. He did that indie run. Now he's doing like John Wick, and he's like. He did that Knock Knock movie. Was really interesting. He did a little documentary about filmmaking.
That was horrible.
What?
Oh, that was awful.
What was?
Yes, and he was terrible in it.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
Knock Knock? I'm saying Knock Knock was terrible.
Oh, I liked it.
I hated it.
Okay.
It was all for shock, and it annoyed me.
Okay, fair enough. Can I still like Keanu?
Please love Keanu for all of us.
Can we let Todd talk now?
Yes,
please. Let's do it.
My turn? Okay. I've got two names that were mentioned already. Harrison Ford, certainly, is one. And Bill Murray. And then the last one I have, and this is not just because I had a huge crush on her in high school, but I think she is a great actress. Jennifer Connelly is one that I always gravitate towards. So
she's still so good.
You know what? There's a question here, and I don't know if it's because she may come up again. No, we'll do it on another episode. It's here. I'll talk about her a little bit later. You know, I wrote down Daniel Day-Lewis. I had Harrison Ford and Bill Murray shortlisted, but they're not, like, working that actively currently. And Daniel Day-Lewis might be retired, so I didn't know if I should count them. So that's why I chose to leave those guys off, but that's a great list. Let's go to you for this next one, Todd. Cinematic confession time. What is the most overrated movie?
Okay. I'm going to have to go back to Disney again on this. Pixar specifically. Even though I think this is a very good movie, I think WALL-E is very overrated.
A lot of people say that.
I agree with you in the sense that people will say WALL-E is the greatest Pixar movie ever made, and I'm like, no.
That's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. The Incredibles is the best Pixar movie for me.
No, but yes.
I think we'll all disagree, but we can at least agree that WALL-E is not the greatest.
Yes.
I mean, it's got a lot of interesting things to it, but I think it's really one of those movies where the first half is really strong and the second half really kind of falls apart and gets a bit too preachy, and I just didn't like being talked down to like that.
I agree. That's exactly how I felt about it. And subsequently, that's where I usually stop watching the movie.
Okay, good answer. I like it. Citizen Kane. Your turn, Heather.
We've always done Citizen Kane. That's why I didn't pick it.
Do you want a different one? I'll tell you a different one. Yeah. Anything by, like, David Lynch, currently.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like stuff is for everyone.
Particularly Mulholland Falls, I felt like Lynch does not make sense, and people try to pull art out of it, and I think sometimes it's just a fucking weird project for him. I don't think it's meant to make sense, and I hate when snobs start telling me how artistic it is, and it's just not, dude. It's just not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fair enough. Mine was a comedy this time because I usually go for some of the classics. Mine is The Hangover. It's still regarded as like one of the funniest comedies ever. And
oh, I agree. I agree on that.
It's fine, but I'm not ever going to turn it on and watch it on purpose. Ever. Ever. Ever.
I'd say it's a solid comedy. It's not one of the funniest films of all time.
I think
in the moment, Zach Galifianakis was refreshing, but... You know, that got a little long-winded. He's an interesting comic. I don't think he's meant to be a main front-and-center comic. Like, watch his show and shit. Like, that's, like, Galifianakis
comedy. Honestly, I even felt like that about Will Ferrell for a long time. I always liked him better in supporting roles than lead roles. I thought he was way funnier when he would do supporting roles. And for the most part, I still think that about him, though he does fine sometimes.
That's a good one, Heather. I like that. Good for you.
Thank you.
Putting your foot down on that bullshit.
Yeah, enough of that funny business.
All right, so here's question number 7, and I kind of already alluded to it, so let me just go ahead and do mine first. But the question is, what movies are literally emotionally draining for you to watch? And for me, it's Requiem for a Dream.
I knew you were going to pick that, because Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
That's actually what made me think of asking this question, because I've been wanting to make Mike watch it for a long time, but I can't get there to go... All right, it's time to sit down and watch this. In the little spare time that we have, this is what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie, though.
It's and Aronofsky's good at, like, playing on your nerves or your emotions quite a bit. Looking at these previews for I didn't know he made the film that's coming out called Mother. I didn't know that was an Aronofsky film. I'm only going to probably see it because it's an Aronofsky film, because now I'm really interested. But, yeah, that for whatever reason, your heart kind of goes out to everybody in that film, and it's all just tragic. It's all fucking tragic. But her in particular, at the end when she's in that room with the men and the chick and the thing, I have a really hard time watching that. It really, like, hurts my heart. So, yeah. Anyway.
I get it.
All right. What about you, Todd?
This is probably the toughest question of all of them for me, because I don't get too terribly emotionally invested in movies. I'll sit there and I'll watch it, and it may have an effect on me, but then when it's done, I go, well, you know, it's just a movie, and I move on. You know, maybe I was trained too much by my parents to just go, it's just a movie, it's just a movie. So I tried to think of a movie that really just had more of an impact on me, and this is going to sound really, really silly, and going back to what I was saying before about The Muppets, but the reboot movie that was just called The Muppets.
Yeah.
That drained me because I am such a fan, and because they had such an impact on what I do. The way that that film was so loving about those characters and the history, and brought out things that are obscure from the TV show that only people that have watched the episodes 100 times, like I have, you know, are going to pick up. And you know, when they start singing Rainbow Connection and that, I was a mess. And you know, just even leaving the theater on that, you know, it just felt like I had been, you know, like sobbing at a funeral or something like that. Far from it, because this wasn't a funeral. This was a rebirth, if anything. But, you know, just the way that that movie really touched on all the things I loved as a kid, that really drained me.
That's great. And we say you can interpret these however you want. So I completely accept that answer. That's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's really good, actually. Because it is. It's a personal thing.
It's sad if movies are not touching you in some way. You know what I mean? And there's plenty we watch, but like if you're not getting a connection and that one can pull that huge of a reaction at you, that's a good thing. I'm happy for you, man. I don't know what love feels like anymore, so I have to live vicariously for other people. Heather, what about you?
One that I thought of a couple here, and it was hard. I almost went with Steel Magnolias. That scene at the end with Sally Field is still probably one of the best moments as far as actually being touching and real is. It's one of the few moments that I usually break down and cry to, and I don't do that watching movies ever. But one that I feel like I've been through an ordeal by the time I'm done watching is Grave of the Fireflies. I haven't watched it in a really long time, and I was thinking about it when I was starting to kind of brainstorm for this one. And if you haven't seen it, you should.
Is that animated?
Yes, it is. And it's probably been about 10 years, but it's basically war seen through the eyes of children. They're siblings, and they're trying to survive after their parents. I don't remember if they were killed or they were separated from them. And it's all very beautiful, too. The whole thing is quite lovely, which is, you know, the contrast of that with what they're going through is pretty, pretty amazing. But it is really difficult to watch when the kids are starving and trying to find safety and all the things that they go through. And the end is rough. It's an ordeal. I don't know how else to describe it. I've wanted to watch it many, many times again because it is so good. And I can't quite get there because I don't know if I can sit through it without falling to pieces and being a mess for quite a while.
Oh, my God, Heather.
What? What?
On that note, everyone does a bad celebrity impression, Todd. Now that we've talked about war through the eyes of children and Heather's solemn tone, I think everyone could use a pickup. We have a theory that everyone has a bad celebrity impression, and as tradition on the show, this is when you give us yours. The floor is yours. Cheer the children up, Todd.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try because, I have to go to the Muppets. The one that I am always called on to do is The Great Gonzo.
Oh, yes.
So let's see here. Ladies and gentlemen, I will now ride this motorcycle up this ramp and jump directly into that box, landing safely between those two elderly gentlemen.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Mike's going to love this show. He loves the Muppets, so he's going to be very happy when he listens to this one.
My go-to was always, that was the one I always did growing up. I love the animal. All right, it's time to play the game. Let's go do that now.
The game, don't blow it, the game.
All right, so the game is simple. Todd, basically I've selected three films for you, and for each film I have seven clues that include the year and genre of the film, actors of the film, directors, supporting actors, tagline. They are all taken from IMDb. If you were to guess the film on the first clue, I would give you 7 points, second clue 6 points, so on down. 21 is perfect score, probably not going to happen. We say that if you get a 12, you've done very well. Does that all make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so
I think I got it.
We do have a bit of a time. We've added a time thing to this. So I usually give you about 10 seconds for each guess. And we're going to start with your first film for 7 points is a 2005 action adventure drama.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
That is incorrect. Right. 6 points. Colin Hanks is in this film.
Colin Hanks. Oh, shoot. Orange County. That's all I can remember.
Yes, he's in that. Now, we probably would give his name last in that situation because he's the star of that film, but just so you know how the game kind of works, but that's not a bad guess. For 5 points, the tagline of this film is The Eighth Wonder of the World.
The Eighth Wonder of the World.
This is where people scream at their car radios.
Yeah.
But they're not having to do it with the pressure of doing it on the show, and they don't understand.
It's a lot harder than people think.
I don't have a clue right now. Sorry.
Okay, we can go on to the next
one.
No
guess.
Four points. Adrian Brody is in this film.
Adrian Brody. He's in Predators. I'll say Predators.
Oh, I like that movie. No. For 3 points, since I think the director is a dead giveaway, I'm going to give you the star of this film. It is Naomi Watts.
Oh, King Kong.
That is correct.
Yes.
For 3 points, it is King Kong. On to your second film. Your second film is a 1996 comedy. Just the one.
1996 just comedy. Father of the Bride.
That is incorrect. For 6 points, Kylie Minogue is in this movie.
I love that clue. Could have used others, but that was the one I used for Kai, too.
Rat Race.
Yeah, we should state, Heather wrote these for me last week, and we didn't do them on the show, and we played with them after, so now we're using them this week. All right, for 5 points, the tagline of this film is, Bud and Doyle are here to save the world, but who's going to save the world from Bud and Doyle?
Bud and Doyle.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, I should know what that's in, but I don't.
And I didn't give Kai those names because I thought he would get it right away.
Nope.
I don't know.
Okay. Four points. Stephen Baldwin is in this film.
Stephen Baldwin.
He's the born again one.
Yeah.
He's the Republican.
But Biodome.
That is nice! Great, man. You did way better than me on that one. I'll tell you that right now. Good comeback. I like that. All right.
You are beating Kai.
For your final film, you have a 1991 action crime drama.
91 action crime drama. Heat.
No, that's a good guess. That might have been like 94, 95.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. 4, 6 points. Gary Busey is in this movie.
Ooh.
Point Break.
Nice!
6 points, that is correct, giving you a grand total of 13, moving you up our leaderboard and doing better than average. Congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you.
That was quite good.
Todd, it was
You definitely beat Kai.
She's still talking. We fight. It's just what we do. Hey, Todd, I'm sorry you had to see all this. It's nice to have you on the show. I hope you'll come back someday. You actually might have a chance. You might have a chance at our Tournament of Champions with 13. I don't think there's many higher than that, so congrats, man.
Awesome.
Do me a favor. Take a minute. Tell everybody where they can find you online, Twitter, all your websites and all that. Let's give them one more reminder.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Forgotten Films. That's films with a Z. My main blog, which is called Forgotten Films, is at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. You'll also find links to the Forgotten Filmcast and Walt Sent Me there on that blog. And check out channelsuperhero.com to see my reviews of the 1966 Batman series and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That's awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate having you.
Thank you.
Heather.
Yes.
My darling, what do we want to promote?
You can follow us on Instagram at MILFcast. There's all sorts of fancy stuff there. We also post all of our podcasts on there. That's an easy way to find us. You can find the podcast on iTunes or Podomatic for free. And you can follow us on Facebook or occasionally Twitter at Heather_Kenobi or Kai's is at Kiderman. And he says things on occasion.
I tweeted a bit.
Say it like that.
I've been tweeting a bit lately. Yeah, come check me out there. Check out my art page, too, on Instagram, at The Amazing Kiderman. I just did some new Pokemon Raid Battle stickers. I just ordered them, so I'm getting those in about a week or two. And
Did you do the bloody ones?
I did not do the bloody ones, but I did do a regular version and a holographic version, and I may put them up for sale. So hit me up. I may have prints, too, so let me know. That's it. I could do this all day, but there's beers to be drank, movies to be seen. I'm going to go do that. We'll see you next time. Heather.
I liked this show a lot. A lot. Like, a lot. It was good.
Was that like Forrest Gump or Billy Bob or something?
I don't know. Okay. I like it a lot.
Is that just you?
Maybe. It's lunchtime, slime ball. I'm hungry. I don't like to be helpful, though. It's really annoying.
I know. I do a show with you.
I tried not to go on tangents today.
How'd that work out?
It did pretty good, I thought. You were tangenty.
Why did your voice get higher when you said that? I'm allowed to be tangenty because I don't go tangenty like you go tangenty.
Nah, that's not true.
There's rules.
The old rules, you don't talk about the rules.
That's a different club.
It's whatever I want it to be.
All right, Heather, you're reading clues, kid.
I'm reading them?
You never sent them to me, did you?
I thought you had them.
No, do you not have them?
I might not. Hold on.
Heather Smut.
Gorramen, I've been so prepared all week with things and such. Oh, did I delete it? I thought I sent it to you from my phone, which means... And I'm not seeing it here. No, I don't have it.
Damn it, Heather.
I'm sending him. Hold on. I'm trying to remember the second one.
This is what Heather does to me, Todd. This is why I'm getting gray. This is why I'm getting gray hair.
I have so much now. It's amazing.
Type 3 movie names and send them to me.
Okay, I'm trying to remember them. Okay, I've got the first two and the last one. Do you remember the last one?
No, Heather. They're your movies.
You did them last week.
Yeah, you wrote them. We said we'd save them. Why don't you have them?
I don't know. My brain's starting to just be gone permanently, I think.